together in trouble.
Welcome to the Carry On Check-In, the podcast where we connect with the people shaping the future of travel. I'm Matt Leedham, and today I'm joined by Tony Khan, founder of Everything AI in Travel and co-founder of social influencer brand Videro. With more than 25 years in the industry, including 13 years at Intrepid Travel, leading the Urban Adventures brand, Tony has now gone all in on AI. In this first episode of what is a new regular series on perhaps the industry's most significant talking point, Tony sets the scene for travel's transformation with plenty of practical insights and takeaways for anyone working in travel. Thank you so much for checking in with us today, Tony. First question I always love to ask all of our guests is, where are you checking in from today?
Well, I'm down in Melbourne, so raining at the moment, probably sunny in 15 minutes. We don't know. I was actually up in Brisbane yesterday, a glorious day up there, but no back down suffering here in Melbourne today.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to kick off our conversation with a quick fire check-in round to get our conversation going today. And there are some rules to this conversation, those being that you can only answer yes, no, or maybe, with potentially a very short disclaimer if you absolutely must. Okay?
For sure. All right, tough.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Will AI replace travel advisors? Is AI more of an opportunity than a threat for small travel businesses?
100%, 1,000,000% yes.
Opportunity, that is?
Opportunity, absolutely.
Just to confirm.
Yeah.
And last question, will travelers ever fully trust AI to plan and book their trips?
So yes, but there's a caveat in there.
Wonderful. Oof, some intriguing answers there to kick off what will be a very, very good conversation. Now, this is the first in a series of conversations you and I are going to have. Obviously, of the understanding that this is an incredibly large and very pertinent topic for everybody in the industry right now. And there is literally so much going on. You've got a fantastic lens on all of this in terms of what you do with Everything AI in Travel. So we're going to start at the beginning of sorts today. So the first question is, let's have a think about the sort of industry pulse. What are you seeing are the biggest sort of AI trends that travel companies need to know about at the moment?
Yeah, for sure. So as you say, let's start at the start. And that is that AI is a trend. It's not just a trend, it's a transformation in the way the world works, in everything that we do, and you need to be across it, right? And so that's the starting point. It's a mega trend. You watch the 7:30 report, you pick up a newspaper or scroll through anything, 50% of it now is people talking about AI, right? So it's now all pervasive. This is not going away. This is the genie's not going back in the bottle. With the crew I was talking to yesterday, I kind of said, every company I go to is pretty much exactly the same these days. And there's like 10% who are uber involved and obsessed with the new technology. There's 10% who are like, nah, don't want to have anything to do with it, hate it, for whatever reason. And there's 80% in the middle waiting. What do you want me to do? I'm waiting for instructions here, and we need to move more of that 80 into that top 10%. And for those that are in the bottom 10%, like you are somebody who in, 1997 is going, oh, I'm not going to bother with this email thing because I don't think it's going to be catch on. And I just want everyone to like type me a letter and post it to me, you're not going to exist, right? You're not going to be your comparative output is going to go below zero compared to everybody else. And so you can't opt out here, I'm afraid.
Yep.
But I think just people need to kind of really understand. I think maybe we can get into more technical aspects, on a future call. Like, for the moment, it's kind of we're moving into an agentic scenario, and I'd love to talk about that at depth. But like for right now, all I really want people to know is like, this is here. It's not going away. You need to get involved for yourself, for your career, and for your business.
Yeah, okay. So the takeaway there is that the industry is obviously, we're very aware now of what's going on and we're sort of moving towards it, but there's a lot of work to do in terms of starting to get some critical mass and all moving in the right direction. So I guess with that in mind, who are you seeing that is doing AI well in travel right now? And what do you think we can learn from them?
For sure. So I've got a couple of examples here. Like it depends how you define doing well. So let's start. Who's making money? Okay, yep. Who's actually solved a problem with AI and has a solution that's in the market that people are buying? And a good example there, I think, in our industry would be GuideGeek. So GuideGeek is from the founder of the Matador Network, Ross Borden, one of the earliest people I saw ever get involved with AI and travel and start just figuring stuff out and doing things.
Yeah, this is over in the US.
Correct, correct. Yep. So Matador Network, publishing media network, been around for 30 years. Lots of travel companies have advertised through Matador over time, and particularly the DMO world have advertised in there, and that's who he's connected with. All right. So The first thing he built was GuideGeek, which is basically a chatbot. And it's actually not a sophisticated piece of technology. It's a chatbot that sits over OpenAI or one of the other large language models, and it's just been trained to give destination information. But the use case that he solved for is that every destination, basically every company, would love to be able to answer their follower questions on social media. All right, old school way of doing it is you have your social media coordinator answer those questions. All right, but they can't do it in real time. They can't do it on the weekend. It becomes a burden, becomes the only thing they're doing at some point, and you're wondering what's the value of that. Now, Machine is doing it, okay? So GuideGeek is doing it, and Ross has had great ability to leverage his relationships within the DMO network in the US, and I would say now probably about half, 25 out of the 50 states are using it as the core chatbot on their website or within their DMs of their Instagram or as a WhatsApp question and answer session for their organization. And so he solved a real need. He solved this problem that was in the marketing department using information that was out there. So in terms of doing well, making money, making sales, people are buying it, that's a great product that I would recommend. In terms of the industry more generally, I think there's kind of, I'll give you a big, medium and small example. In the big, I like Expedia. Well, actually, I don't like Expedia, but I like what they're doing in terms of a company. They've gone right back to their startup roots. They've gone into their business and identified who in their business is really into this AI thing. And they've said, stop doing your normal job. Come over here. Concentrate on what we can do in AI. They've set up a AI sandbox with all the tools that they can go in and freely play with and experiment with. And I'm seeing Expedia ship experiments often, right? So they'll come out, they sometimes come out with a big announcement, sometimes have no announcement, whatever, but they're out there putting it in front of the millions of consumers that are going through their business, seeing what happens, okay? Like a startup should, getting the data back, feeding it back, right? So as a company, why I like what they've done is that they've identified this is a huge opportunity, this is a platform shift, we need to be at the forefront. They've identified their people, they've given them some tools, they've given them some license, and they're putting things out to the world, okay? And every company should be thinking that way. So they're just a good example of how to do things. At the medium level, I've been working a lot with retail travel agencies here in Australia, and that industry is kind of archaic, right? They're using GDSs, from the 70s through to the 90s technology, and they're cobbling that together with six or seven other systems in the background to make the magic work, and travel advisors just jump from one system to the other as they've been trained to do, and there's a lot of manual work in there. So if you look at Thomas Cook India, for example, in a similar situation, probably using similar tech, probably a lot messier in terms of what's happening around in the background, but they decided that they were going to pull the trigger on a total transformation of their technology. They were going to use this AI platform shift to say, now is the moment to stop doing those seven things in the background with seven pieces of technology and start again with an AI first piece of technology that can give their consultants the tools they need to be able to sell in a much more efficient and better way, more efficient, more economical, and improve the outcomes for their business. And so that's a really hard thing to do, right, is to like take all that technical debt, potentially still overlapping leases that you've got on certain softwares and whatever and say stop now and start again. But fantastic move for them and the one to watch, I think, for the retail sector here in Australia to see how that pans out for them, because pretty much everyone in the retail travel sector is probably going to have to make that transformation at some point. And so tinkering around in the background does some of it, but interested to see what they do. And then the final one is I interviewed on my own podcast, the Everything AI and Travel podcast, a hotelier in the Cook Islands a few weeks ago. And so this were down in the small area, and Tata Kakum from Rarotonga has decided that he is going to do everything AI first. He's gone all in on AI, and he's got himself a $20 pro ChatGPT account. And as soon as he sits down, what's the thing I want to work on now? Yep. The first thing he does is go in and ask AI about it.
Yeah,
so him and AI talk about what he should do in this particular scenario. He comes up with a solution, and now he's bringing his team into that. So everything from menu planning to the future forecasting to revenue management, everything goes through AI first. And in what was an incredible interview, he told me that he feels that he is getting tens of millions of dollars in benefits by taking this approach, and comparing that to other vendor software that he uses, like his PMS, etc., which are extractive. He says this is totally additive to what he's doing for $20. It's a great listen. Maybe take it with a grain of salt in terms of the numbers, in terms of what it's generating. But to him, the value is immense, and I think
absolutely,
it's worth listening to see how somebody else is attacking it.
And as you say, that's really just a massive behavior shift, isn't it? That's just a huge change in mindset from the old to literally working with something completely revolutionary and transforming his business from the ground up, as you say. You know, we're starting to see roles now, AI roles popping up in travel. But to be honest, I'm not seeing that many out there, certainly in the public space. Are you seeing many new kind of AI roles coming into the industry?
Like, I'm not. And as you say, it's pretty much at the higher level, bigger publicly listed companies that are probably going for an AI specialist in their business. But what I am seeing and what I'm encouraging people that I work with in the industry to do is to identify that top 10% within your own business, and then be brave enough to say, I'm actually going to take that person or people out of their role and give them a new role within our company to continue on their journey that they're already highly invested in, and bring the rest of the company along with them, and that can lead
that
to
sense.
Quite some weird situations where your former, assistant product manager just happened to be the early adopter is now training the CFO. And that's hard for companies to adjust to or whatever, but like, I'm really loving that approach as an organic way to build your own internal knowledge just through the passion of people that you've already got in your business. And that's a great way to start versus going out and hiring some external who then has to learn your entire business and your culture and everything else.
Yeah. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That is a great insight. Brilliant. Well, thinking about travelers for a second, and I was looking at a recent report on Skift, which said that 30% of US travelers used AI extensively to plan their trips in 2025, which was versus only 13% in late 2024. So that's already a massive jump. But then adversely, 39% of users reported outdated or incorrect AI recommendations, and 46% found suggestions far too generic. So not really offering a lot of value there either. That struck me as quite interesting. And then I guess coming back to the narrative where we started around that AI in travel has shifted from hype to habit, where do you think we are in terms of AI adoption in Australia here with just in terms of usage?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting thing. And the headline of the newsletter last week was actually a YouGov report that reported that amongst younger Americans, they are now declining in their usage of AI for trip planning specifically, right? So what's going on there? Like, why would that be? And I think you've kind of summarized it well in your question, in that what they're getting back is generic, okay? It's fast, but it's not great, right? And you asked me before, will travel advisors go away? And this is the reason why I don't think they will go away. All right, but AI will continue to get better. AI will continue to find new sources of information to be better at what it can recommend. And right now, there is, I would say, a reluctance for people with money in venture capital, etc., to invest in vertical AI systems like in travel, because they believe that the horizontal systems like your Googles or your OpenAIs will actually get better over time and make, you know, any kind of vertical endeavor, it will get steamrolled, you know. And so people are using AI much more every day, right? And because every company that they interact with is bringing AI in front of them. And so it's just becoming more and more normal. It's not up to travel to normalize this for people. It's just going to get normalized, and a lot of it's going to happen in the background. So there'll be adoption whether we like it or not. And the king of that adoption process, or, you know, the pivotal moment, will be when Google switches over from where it is now, where you type a couple of words into a search engine and get 10 links, to a more ChatGPT interface, which is already, you know, live in a number of markets. But there'll be a day where you turn up to Google and it's now a question and answer interface versus a one question and then go find your own information. And at that point, everything changes, right? Because then everybody will then be indoctrinated into this way of getting information that will be new to them, and it will become revolutionary, right? Like the first time you use these things, you're like, oh, wow, how did I get such a great answer? You know, particularly to ask it for something you know nothing about. And so that's the road we're on. That's why this is not going away, and that's why we all need to kind of get on board and understand it better.
How far away do you think we are, Tony, with that in terms of launching those? I mean, we're hearing, you know, obviously about, as you say, OpenAI browsers now. The great browser war is, you know, Google Chrome, as you said, which is probably going to move to that. How far away do you think we are before we get to those browsers being launched?
So, like, people I respect and who probably know way more than me in this think it's going to be before the end of this year.
Yep.
Which is, like, pretty
not that far away,
right? Pretty soon.
Yep.
And the furthest horizon I've heard is 18 months, right? So so if you're a business out there and you run your business on SEO, if your core way of getting customers to your website is from the old SEO way of doing things, keywords, etc., there might just be a day in December this year where all that goes away. All right. So, like, if you're not thinking about that as like a huge threat to your business and working out how you'll mitigate should that day happen, because it's going to happen sooner or later, so you need to be thinking about it now, then like you're asleep at the wheel, and you need to really become conscious of what's happening.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, as an antidote to that, I guess, for our, you know, travel advisor audience particularly, and the industry, I mean, we talked about, you know, overcoming the fear factor, which feels like it's literally just a case of you need to get onto this now. I mean, I'm thinking obviously relationships are going to be more important than ever with your client base, and just thinking about utilizing AI in terms of personalization for your partners, and just thinking about what more you can do with those tools.
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, I've done quite a bit of consulting in the retail agency world, and some of that has been, right, how can we shortcut our way between two different systems? And so we've done some, you know, developmental work there to make those things happen for them. But a lot of it is just around how can I be more efficient in the way that I do my job? And when we dig into that and work through what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, if a consultant is asked by a client about somewhere they don't really know that well, they've not traveled to themselves, they don't have personal recommendations for, I ask them what they do. And, you know, they'll do what the rest of us do. They will go and, like, seek out some information. They'll Google some stuff. They'll jump on TripAdvisor. They'll start reading through reviews of, you know, the two hotels that they're now, you know, considering recommending as part of what they're going to put in front of their client to make sure that's the right thing, etc. Then they'll go to Google and cross-reference those and blah, 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 blah. Now, my suggestion to those people is, well, don't do any of that. Just open up ChatGPT and ask it, and then ask it to give you a summary of the pros and cons of the two hotels that you are considering, and for it to specifically reference TripAdvisor and Google reviews when it's doing its analysis. And in 5 seconds, it will come back and say, here's what's good about this hotel, here's what's bad about it, here's what's good about this one, here's what's bad about it, and here's some quotes that people have specifically used in their reviews. So instead of 25, 30 minutes of you know, kind of agonizing reading through every review, we've now turn that down to 1 minute where you are able to make an informed decision. And when we did this kind of live with a group that I was presenting to, you know, it came out and said, this hotel is fantastic and we would recommend it 100%, but it's not on the beach. Right. And the other hotel, which was also, you know, pretty great, but you know, on balance, you would have chosen Hotel One, was on the beach. And so right now we know, does my client want to walk out of their hotel room onto the beach or not? Mm. How important is that to my client?
Yeah.
Now the decision's made, right? And so, you know, we've gone from a 20-minute thing to a 1-minute thing. And that's,
sure,
these are the efficiencies that you should be looking for. And it's simple. And I like that one because it forces the advisor to use the technology every day, 10 times, 15 times, right? And only by using it will you get better at using it.
Mm. So the creativity comes from learning the prompt, the right prompts and the right questions to ask.
Correct. Because you could have just said, tell me some good hotels in this town and you'll get a completely different answer than, you know, drilling down on what you actually want to do. Think about your own process that you will go through manually and just repeat that as what you want your helper to do. Right. Mm. And then your helper will go and do that for you, but it'll do it instantaneously rather than taking a lot of time for you to do it. You know, for sure, to get your confidence up, go and cross-reference for 5 minutes. Okay. But at least we've gone from 20 to 6 minutes in terms of your decision-making time around that one element of that one itinerary for one customer. Right. You've got a lot of work to get through. You've got a lot of people you need to service. Let's find how we can build efficiencies, but also great experiences for the end customer.
Mm, so hugely impactful to your workflow. Wow, what a time saving.
For sure, 100%.
And I guess just on the tools side of things, I mean, you know, now, of course, AI is baked into pretty much every tech tool we use, whether we realize it or not. ChatGPT, of course, OpenAI is a sort of the lead player, if you like, in all of this. Are there other tools that you would recommend that the travel industry have a look at or advisors again?
Look, there's so many out there that people are building for specific use cases. So it really, the answer is it depends. But the worst thing you can do is not use any of them. And the best thing you can do is get yourself on some type of learning curve to upskill yourself on how this technology works. So again, in presentations, like with most technology, it doesn't matter like how the sausage is made, right? But with AI, it does a little bit. Right, because you need to know how to ask the right question. And the experience of a lot of people is they will ask a question. The first thing they'll ever do in AI is ask a question about something they know a lot about, right, that they are the expert in. And the answer they'll get back will be 80% good and maybe 10% wrong and 10% like just not great, right? And so they're like, wow, well, it's not that good because, you know, I know better than that. You know, through my own experience, I'm better than it, so it's no good. But then if they ask it a question about which they know nothing about, that 80% answer is like, whoa, you know, wow, that's amazing. How good was it to get that information and so quickly and exactly what I needed and not clicking around for any links. So, and, you know, sure, the technology will get a bit better, but this is, you know, the piece that we bring to this is human context, right? And, you know, so as a travel advisor, you are highly experienced. You have a lot of context that this machine will never have. You have hopefully, you know, actually touched that sand, you know, smelt that sea, and this machine will never do that. And that's your advantage. And so, you know, I think there's that major plus to it. So when you asked me at the beginning, will travel advisors go away? They won't because of that reason, but even probably more so is that, why do people buy from travel agents in the first place? One is to like fix up any mistakes that like happen along the way that, you know, you just want to call someone and say, fix this for me, which is a service that, you know, is where the value is. But the second is people want their purchase decisions validated.
Right? Yes.
They want them validated by someone that they trust, not just a machine that told them to do something, right? They want an expert to say, that's a great decision you're making there. You are going to have a fabulous holiday. Right, they just want that reassurance, and that's something that only the human can bring. And yeah, that's why travel advisors have got a long and healthy life ahead of them in terms of a career.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful to hear. And I know our audience will take a lot of positives away from that. And thinking about the key takeaways and what your main message would be for the industry, we've talked about don't be afraid, embrace it. Think about who in your business perhaps you can involve and see as those real early adopters, as you say, that can educate and inspire everyone else to get involved. What's your big message for the industry?
Look, as particularly the leaders, like if you're in the C-suite, if you're the CEO, you need to be in that top 10% right now.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And this is how I see the world evolving more starkly than anything else. So, I would say once a week I'm with a new business, and my gut reaction on spending time with those people is how well they're going to succeed in this new era is almost entirely based to how invested the core decision maker of the business is in this subject. All right. So if it's not being driven from the top, I really fear for those companies, but I also fear for their employees, because those that are in companies where the CEO is like totally on board and driving this through their organization, not only do I think that those companies are going to thrive ahead of their competition, but they are building the skills and techniques that their employees need to safeguard their own future careers. And what they're actually doing right now is moving every one of their employees from wherever they sit in the pack to way higher. Right, those employees that come out of companies that have adopted AI early are going to be extremely highly sought after, as everyone, the reckoning dawns and people go, oh my God, we know nothing. We need to get people in here that know this stuff, and that is where there's going to be this huge advantage for those who's work for companies that have got their eyes on the prize here. So, I'm excited for those companies, and I'm fear for some of the other ones, but as a CEO, as a board member, you've got to be thinking about the risk to your business by not getting on board here. And it's huge. And ultimately you are there about the survival of your company and your shareholder value, and it's all tied to this inner platform shift. So please get on board and find the way in your day to start playing with this, understanding it, and getting better at it.
That's fantastic advice. Brilliant. Thank you so much for your insights today. I've loved it, Tony. It's been great and a brilliant way to kick off our series. I'm pretty sure that the next time we speak, things will have moved on massively again, even though that's not going to be that far away when you and I have our next conversation. So it is absolutely a huge topic that we will be keeping on top of here. So thank you again for your insights. Wishing you all the best with your podcast and everything AI and travel and all the wonderful work you're doing in that space. And can't wait to catch up with you again very soon.
Likewise. I mean, I think we've kind of set the scene here, Matt, and in future we can get, way more tactical on exactly how people can, do strategic things within their business to move the needle. And I really look forward to exploring those opportunities with you and with the audience.
Thanks so much, Tony. That's it for today's Carry On Check-In, and a huge thanks to Tony Khan for sharing his fantastic insights, and of course to you, as always, for tuning in. You'll find all the useful links you need from this episode in the show notes, and we'd absolutely love it if you could support this show by subscribing to the Carry On Check-In wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again, and until next time, onwards and upwards.